The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. The second hour is live, and the latest is another head rolling in Kansas. Jeff Long reportedly out as athletic director one day after parting ways with Les Miles. Long, the former Arkansas AD, made the call on Les Miles, and after what can only be described as a disastrous press conference yesterday, was shown the door today, according to multiple media reports. So that is where we are at this hour. It's a couple other items to pass along. I just noticed where the Texas Rangers, a year after baseball shut down for months and didn't have fans at all until the very end, is now going to go to 100% capacity for their opener in about 3 weeks. Texas, of course, lifting the mask mandate. Let's get back to your calls at 855-242-7285. And Dane is up next in Baton Rouge. Hello, Dane. Good afternoon. Let me try this one again. Dane, you there?
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Hey there. Good afternoon.
So I heard somebody call in talking about Paul Menary with LSU, and I really wanted to give my take on that one. I think what people need to realize, I'm not like a typical LSU baseball fan, because a lot of people down here really want Paul Menary gone. First of all, they need to understand that baseball is just a different sport, in my opinion. And also, you have to, first of all, the season, it's a little early in the season still. And you have next season's also a really great recruiting class coming in. So I think even if...
Hey, Dane, can you explain to me? Now, I realize I don't live in Baton Rouge. I'm there occasionally, and I hear the criticism, and Menary even acknowledged it the last time I sat down with him, but what do they have against this guy?
I mean, they hold really high standards here for LSU baseball. And, of course, if you're not winning a national championship, they want you gone. And the last time they won a national championship here was 2009, but the last time he wasn't a runner-up was 2017 against Florida, of course.
3 years ago.
Yeah. And right now, I mean, it's kind of been a down year for the last few years. And last year, I really believe Paul Menary and the LSU Tigers got bailed out whenever the season got canceled with this pandemic, because it was not a good start at all. Next year you have a really good recruiting class coming in, potentially better than this one they have right now. I just think that even if LSU didn't do really well this year, I really believe that they'd still give Paul another chance. And also, I don't know if you're familiar with Tiger droppings.
I've heard of it.
But there's a former player, Chris Reed. Any LSU fan knows who that is. Apparently he was on there, kind of had a secret account, and he came out, acknowledged who he was, and he said something about Paul Menary not leaving until his contract runs out. I don't know how true that is, but, that's also a good point. That's coming up, I think, in the next five years. So I think people just need to relax and remember that Paul Menary is, in my opinion, one of the best coaches in college baseball, And baseball
is just another sport. I think what you have to also understand, I know every program wants to win, but he's in the toughest baseball conference in the world. I think the first five teams, the first five spots in the latest poll are all SEC teams. So I'm all for having high standards, but that is ridiculously high. Thank you for the update, Dane. Appreciate it. Graham in South Carolina is on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Graham, we're doing good.
So I got a question. How do you feel about the Shane Beamer hire here in Columbia, and how long do you think it'll take for him to turn our program around after Will Muschamp leaving it like he did?
I really like it. I think he's a fantastic hire, and I like everything that he stands for. Do I think it will be a quick turnaround? No, because it takes enormously great recruiting to make inroads in the SEC, and you know, he's playing in a pretty tough neighborhood right now.
I got you. Yeah, I mean, I got faith in him. I think it's going to be a long road ahead, but I think we can get through it. So.
Well, I don't have any doubt about that, but I think this is going to take more than a year or two to start building the infrastructure and the foundation. I mean, Muschamp never could quite finish the job. He had potential. He had certain capabilities, but I've never understood Will Muschamp. I thought he had all the ingredients of a successful football coach, and you know, twice now it didn't work. Thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with Patrick, who is on the air from Georgia. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you, sir?
Quite well, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to give you a quick call. I'm long first time call, long time listener, former military guy. I'm from little old Milledgeville, Georgia.
Sure.
I just what it would take for when you guys get back in full swing and all this COVID stuff's kind of gone with college football, how much it would take to get people to a JCO junior college event or have even split it between two junior colleges for you guys to get out here. I'm a double Bulldog fan, so I'm a UGA and a Georgia Military College Bulldog fan. And just curious how hard that would be to do.
Now, what you're suggesting is what again? I understood your military.
College football. So you guys do game day on all the big campuses and everything.
Right.
To do a smaller split show on a couple junior
college. I see what you're saying. Well, I know game day has done some. I mean, they have occasionally. I mean, they've gone to North Dakota. They've gone to. Went to Liberty. Did they go to Liberty this year? I can't remember. I know they went to UCF. I don't mean to say that's a small school. But, I mean, they went to James Madison once or twice. So, I mean, I think it's possible. They went to Coastal this year, not Liberty. I don't think it's impossible. I think knowing those producers pretty well, I think they're always looking for something unique.
Perfect. I appreciate your time
okay.
And appreciate your honesty. And you guys are honest. Awesome. I thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, Patrick, I'm sure somebody's watching it from the game day staff, and I'll make sure that they get your school down. Thank you for the call. And let's see here. Piro is up next in Georgia. Hey, Piro.
Good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you.
I got two questions for you real quick, and I'll hang up and let you ask.
Okay.
One about the celebration penalty. You know, they let them celebrate in the NFL. And another thing is the targeting call. Are they going to make any changes to that? Now, thanks for taking my call and love the show.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the targeting call is being I'm trying to remember if there were any adjustments or not. I don't think there are. Celebration in college is considered different than the pros. The pros are paid, and I mean, I think there's just I'm not sure. I mean, they are pretty strict on that, but they're trying to institute a norm for the college game where, you know, act like you've been there. You know, don't take anything away from. Don't try to call attention to yourself. I don't have a problem with it. Thank you for the call. Eugene is on the air. Hello, Eugene.
Hi, Mr. Paul.
Hi there.
I'm a first-time caller.
Wonderful.
I just want to know what you think. I'm a first-time caller. What do you think about the Dak Prescott contract with the Dallas Cowboys?
I think it is it's enormous, and I think it's well-deserved. I think he should have been paid that earlier, but the Cowboys wasted a lot of time and goodwill by – trying to use a benevolent word here, by putting him off, and I think they paid for it in the end.
Okay. All right, thank you, Paul. Have a good day.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, we are going to head to the break. Andy Kennedy will join us at the bottom of the hour. He's the coach at UAB, former coach at Ole Miss, and SEC Network commentator. If you want to give us a call, we're open for business. Give us a ring at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check.
Sunscreen. Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. If you have not been paying close attention, it has been a busy week in Lawrence, Kansas. First, Les Miles fired. Today, Jeff Long fired. This was only 24 hours ago. Jeff Long speaking at a news conference in Kansas.
As the University of Kansas and Kansas Athletics does with all hiring and hirings, we ran multiple background checks on Coach Miles. I also asked Coach Miles directly during the interview process whether there was anything in his past that could potentially embarrass the university or himself or our program, and he said no. We also did our due diligence by talking to individuals within the LSU athletics department to see if there was anything we should be aware of regarding Coach Miles' tenure at LSU, and received no indications of any issues.
So about an hour ago, Brett McMurphy reported that he was out. It's been confirmed literally by everyone, including ESPN. So, I mean, my question to all of you is this. You heard Jeff Long say that I asked Les Miles, is there anything in your past? And, you know, we're not going to argue on whether Les Miles was truthful. I think that's self-evident. But I ask all of you, if you're up for a job, if you don't have a job, and you're up for a chance for redemption, not the best job in the world when you've been at LSU, but it's a good job. You're getting paid a couple of million dollars a year. You have no expectations whatsoever. And your future boss says to you, is there anything in your past? Now, think about that for a second. Some things, we're not talking about running a red light here. We're talking about covering up a situation in Baton Rouge where your previous boss wanted you fired because of allegations of sexual harassment. And you fought hard to make sure that nobody ever heard about that. So if Les Miles had said to Jeff Long, yeah, you know, got to tell you, Jeff, we've been friends a long time. We worked at Michigan together. I know you wanted to hire me at Arkansas, but I had a situation down there with a woman. He said, with a woman? How old was she? Well, she was a student. So you're telling me, Les, it was one time. Well, there are a couple of situations. And what happened? Well, Joe Oliva wanted me fired, but the president and the board didn't want me fired since, you know, we had just played for the national championship. We'd been preseason number one, had a lot of great players coming back. I had I had Leonard Fournette in the pipeline, Darius Geist out after him. So, yeah, I mean, we were going to win a championship. Is that all, Les? Well, a couple other things, but we're good, aren't we, Jeff? How long do you think Jeff Long would have told Les Miles to take a hike? I mean, I forget whether you like Jeff Long or not. I mean, he would not have hired Les Miles. So it's obvious that Les Miles lied, misled, and Jeff Long did nothing to investigate. If you're the athletic director at Kansas and you do due diligence, you call his former boss. But we all know now that Jeff Long didn't do anything. He knew Les. They've known each other for 25 years, so he didn't pick up the phone and call a single person. Let's get to the calls. I-Man is up next. Good afternoon, I-Man.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Without taking sides on, you know, the Les Miles conversation, let's back up to the settlement phase of this. There was accusations made, and apparently two parties came to an agreement, and we would assume that there was a cash payment made, and everybody looked at this and said, we're good. At that point, was it a Title IX issue? Because it wasn't reported to the school. The school looked at it and said, you know what? Everybody's withdrawn the complaints. They've settled it. We're through with it. Case closed. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, at that point, and by the way, this, it's hard to make a case, whether it's for the feds or a local government or whatever, if you don't have witnesses. And people think it's easy, but it's not. You have to be able to.
And at some point, somebody, whether it's the people that were making the accusations or their handlers, looked at everything and said, we're good, no problem, case over. So it's almost like we know it happened, but then they fixed it. So at that point, LSU didn't have to go any further. It's not a Title IX issue. It's
well, I mean, the school had a tremendous investment in their head football coach. He's only the best known and highest paid individual at the university. And
like I said, I'm not taking sides.
Hold on a second. Why are you not taking sides? I mean, how hard is this to figure out?
Well, I mean, I know what we can all assume, but because they had a settlement, that kind of ended everything, didn't it?
It ended it. Of course it did. Slow down a second, okay? It didn't end it for Joe Oliva, who recommended to the president that the man be fired.
But they settled it.
Slow down a second. You talk too much, okay? You're not listening.
No, I'm listening.
Well, you have not taken a breath for more than 10 seconds in this conversation.
I most certainly have. I understand.
Every time I've tried to explain it, you interrupt me.
Go ahead. I'm quiet.
Yes, the lawyers for Les Miles and the woman settled the case. The university didn't settle anything.
I understand that. The university didn't understand. They didn't settle anything. What they looked at it was, this was a problem, and apparently they fixed it. So what do we do now if there's no problem and it's been fixed? I'm just asking. You got far more experience in that kind of stuff than I do.
I've tried to answer this question a couple of times. I'm trying to communicate to you that the athletic director at LSU, Joe Oliva, after going through this case, after investigating it, recommended to the president of the school to fire Les Miles.
I get that. I've heard that. But at the same time, the school chose not to.
It was over.
Was that before they had the settlement? Was it after the settlement? I mean, some of this has not been explained very clear.
Well,
and I'm just following.
It hasn't been explained very clearly because the school covered it up. That's why. They all agreed in blood not to ever discuss it again, and that's why we are only now just hearing about it. Let's move on, take some more phone calls, and Terry is up next. Hello, Terry. Terry, you there?
Yes.
Well, good. Good afternoon.
Good. I'm at a game.
Terry, I'm not sure I understood the question, but we'll try again in a minute. Russell is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Russell.
Hello, Paul. How you doing today?
Russell, thank you for asking. I'm doing well.
Listen, the sports radio talk around Columbia this afternoon is that Frank Martin is toast. And the exact wording that I heard was that the administration is looking to find a soft landing for him. Have you heard that yet?
I have not heard that, no.
Well, that's what everybody's jabbering about here. But I want to say something I say about Frank Martin compared to Don Staley. I know that's not much a bad comparison, but I don't understand. Everybody's attributing, well, cut him a break because of the COVID issue, and he had a real hard time with it personally also. But Don Staley managed to keep her team COVID-free, basically on the same campus, using basically the same practice facilities. I don't understand why Frank couldn't keep his players COVID-free. I'm sure there's a reason there that nobody seems to address. What do you think about that?
Russell, every situation is different, and I would be willing to say that I think Frank Martin did everything he could. He had some bad luck early on, and it had a terribly negative effect on the beginning of the season. But what happened back in November should have no bearing on what's happening now.
I agree. I'll say this, and I'll let you go. And I enjoy your show, Paul Rudy. Our girls' team, boy, they are on fire. And I think the girls, our girls' team, our women's team, that is, could beat our men's team. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know how. I don't think they could, based on my experience in watching college athletics. As great as they are, from a pure athletic and size standpoint, they would be in trouble. But I know who the better coach would be in the game. I can tell you that. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Speaking of coaches, Andy Kennedy will join us in a few minutes. He's a former Ole Miss coach, then SEC Network commentator. Now he's at UAB and wrapping up a very successful season. We'll talk to him next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. A year ago today, Andy Kennedy was about to cover the SEC basketball tournament in Nashville as a commentator. But today he's heading now to the CUSA tournament after one of the most successful first seasons, maybe the most, a coach has ever had in big-time basketball. Andy Kennedy now at UAB, the men's head basketball coach. Coach, good afternoon, and how are you?
Hey, Paul, I'm terrific. How are you, man?
We're doing great. Well, congratulations. The season is not over yet, but a 21-6 mark has been way beyond expectations, and I know there's work to be done, but it seems like it's gone very well.
Well, I'm proud most, Paul, of the fact that we got in the maximum allowed games. You know, 27 was the maximum that the NCAA gave us in this COVID year, and for us to get to the maximum, again, just shows the discipline that our kids had off the court and the great administrative plan we had to put our kids in a position, number one, to be safe, but number two, also to maximize their collegiate experience. So I'm excited about that. We're playing good basketball. We're in Frisco, Texas now. Dak just signed his lifetime deal, so everybody's in a good mood. And, we're excited to get started tomorrow.
Coach, I want to talk about your team, but in terms of dealing with the same thing every other coach dealt with, what was the biggest challenge?
Everything was so bizarre, Paul. Just like in your world, everything that you know as normal is no longer normal, so you have to constantly adjust. We talk to our kids about playing off of 2 feet. Play off 2 feet when you drive the ball so you can pivot and make the right decision. That's what we had to do all year as coaches and administrators, because each and every day, not only are you worried about winning and losing games, but you're thinking, did anybody test positive? Is our opponent clear? So are we playing the game? So each and every day, there was this factor of the unknown, and you're just literally trying to take one step at a time. You look up, and the season is now culminating with conference tournaments all across the country. And Selection Sunday, I give Dan Gavitt and his crew in the NCAA, you knew as well as I did, Paul, that we had to have an NCAA basketball tournament this year for the financial implications on the NCAA as a whole, and it looks as if we're going to get there.
No doubt. And Coach, as we transition here to what's ahead, what has this been like? And I bring that up, and most people watching or listening know the history, but you played at UAB. You're one of the greatest scorers in the school's history, and you also interviewed at the beginning of COVID, when things could not have been more complex.
Yeah, you said it, Paul, in the intro. I was in Bridgestone Arena doing the Wednesday night games, I guess a year ago tonight. And we finished up doing the doubleheader. We were then talking. I go and do the post-wrap, Dari Noka and crew, and we're sitting there talking after it's over. And we're like, hey, you know, Commissioner Sankey said we're going to continue the tournament tomorrow, but with no fans. So that was our anticipation. We all go to bed. We get up Thursday morning. We get the call and says, hey, this thing's shut down. Go home. I'm driving. Luckily, I live in Birmingham. When my deal at Ole Miss ended, I moved back to Birmingham. I had a daughter that was at Samford and one at Auburn at the time. So we lived there. So I was driving from Nashville back to Samford. It felt surreal. Like, did this just really happen? A few days later, they canceled the NCAA tournament. Then lo and behold, I get a call from my new boss now, Mark Ingram, the athletic director at UAB. And if I was not in Birmingham, I don't even know if it could have happened as quickly as it did. I get hired and 2 days later, the world shuts down. So that may be a strange coincidence, but everything changed from that point forward.
Talking to Andy Kennedy, who I know his mind is on the CUSA, a year ago, we're asking you about the SEC tournament. I don't want to ask you too much because I realize you're probably not paying that much attention, but I am curious what the league looks like from a short distance.
Well, you know, I coached in that league for 12 years. I doing the TV with ESPN and the SEC Network the 2 years prior. I am very, very familiar with the programs, most of the coaches, many of the players, and I do live in Birmingham, which is the headquarters for the SEC. So I do watch a lot of college basketball. I've been really impressed with our brother institution just down the road in Tuscaloosa. Nate Oates and the Crimson Tide are having a fantastic season, and I think they really have a chance to make a magical run. You know, basketball is all about matchups. You know, people get caught up in seeds, but it's really the matchups. It really doesn't matter if you're on the 2-line, the 3-line, the 4-line. It's just about you match up well with your opponent. You know, Bruce Pearl at Auburn showed that firsthand when they made the magical Final Four run just a few years ago. So I really think they've done a terrific job in Tuscaloosa, and I've also been really impressed with the job Eric Musselman's done at Arkansas. I think those two teams have to be the prohibited favorite this weekend in Bridgestone, but there's still a number of other teams certainly capable of making a run.
Andy, you won this tournament, I believe it was in 13, so you know what it takes to get all the way through, even when you're not the favorite. So how do you... whether you're in Kentucky's spot or somebody else's, how do you navigate it all as you're trying to get to Sunday?
You know, that year we were fortunate, Paul. We ended up finishing second in the regular season, so we got the double bye. We did not have to play till Friday. And we were in a situation where we won a very, very close game against the Missouri team on Friday. Nerlens Noel for Kentucky is probably the last time Kentucky has been in this predicament. He goes down with a knee injury late in the season, so it was not the Kentucky that we were all accustomed to seeing. They got upset by Vanderbilt, and we were on the proverbial bubble, so we knew Vanderbilt was right around 500. If we were to take a loss to them, it was going to really hurt our resume chances, so we were able to win that one. Then we knocked on Billy Donovan in Florida in the championship game. It really just takes a singular focus of living in the here and now. And again, we were fortunate that we only had to win 3 games in 3 days. We're in a very similar predicament here. We closed Conference USA by getting a road sweep against North Texas, which allowed us to have the 3 seed going into this tournament. So hopefully we can regain some of that magic and win 3 games in 3 days.
So Duke's going to have to win 5. Kentucky will need to win 4. I'm interested as a former player and as a coach in this league and other leagues and who's had great success in the tournament, what happens to a team after 3 or 4, like let's say 2 or 3 days? I mean, the double bye is a factor, but where does it start to go away from a program who has to start early in a conference tournament?
Well, winning 5 games in 5 days is next to impossible, just physically. The physical and mental toll on staying on razor's edge for 5 straight days physically is very, very difficult to do. Typically, a team that's going through the 4-game route, you can sustain it, but on that 3rd day, that 4th day, you can try as a coach all you want to downplay it, but the physical toll certainly shows itself. If you remember this, Paul, my 2nd year in the SEC, we were in the Georgia Dome the year that the tornado came through. Again, I was a 2nd-year coach. I think it was 07-08, and the tournament got suspended, and then they moved it to Georgia Tech, where Georgia not only won 4 games in 4 days, I believe they won 4 games in 3 days because they had to play 2 games in 1 day. So it is certainly possible, just not quite probable.
Well, again, Andy Kennedy, the coach of UAB, congratulations. I know what a special return home this was, having covered your go-around as a player on that team. And it is fantastic to see you have success, and all the best at CUSA. And we hope to talk to you again soon. Congratulations again.
Hey, thank you, Paul. Always great to catch up with you.
Andy Kennedy, many guests here as a coach at Ole Miss and, of course, as an SEC Network commentator. Now as the UAB head basketball coach. We will take a break. Still plenty of time for you to hop on board at 855-242-7285. Pat Bradley from the SEC Network will join us in the next hour. Chris Lowe on the absolute mess at KU. We'll talk about all that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And we welcome you back, and let's get to the calls. And Mike is in Connecticut. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How are you? Just a quick, couple quick questions. You know, this whole mouse thing is pretty crazy. I'm just, wondering, how is it that, LSU, sat on this one now? It was brought to their attention by the AD. And they, they sat on, didn't fire less. And he goes to Kansas, and, the AD doesn't do the, his due diligence and hires him, and ultimately costs him his job. And, how come this didn't come out while Les was.
Well, Mike, I don't think very many people knew about it. And, but, one thing I don't know is what the requirements were, but if the AD had called the former AD at LSU, he may not have been able to talk about the specifics, but he certainly could have warned him.
Yeah. Didn't the president, I think, at LSU know about it?
The president knew, the AD knew, and there was some confusion about what the recommendations were. But, it was a serious situation. I mean, there's no getting around that.
Could they get sanctions imposed by NCAA now or for that?
I don't know how they could because, the NCAA's jurisdiction really is over is over rules, and you know, this is not applicable to NCAA rules. Now, as soon as I say that, I'm sure somebody out there is going, well, what about the Penn State situation? Well, the NCAA threw out their rule book on that. Right. Well, listen, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Richard,
no problem. Thank you.
Is calling next in Texas. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Thanks. We're doing great.
I live in Big 12 country, but I've been really reading everything I get my hands on this Les Miles situation.
Sure.
And Sports Illustrated came out with an article. It said Les Miles, a dark secret in LSU's systematic failure. But in that document or whatever, they say that the athletic director recommended he be fired, but the university's outside counsel, which was Taylor and Porter, recommended he not be fired because they did not constitute sexual harassment. And if they did, Miles could take them to court. They'd owe him $15 million buyout.
Right.
Now, if that's true, and I guess Sports Illustrated knows what they're talking about. If I hired these attorneys, if I hired you, for instance, to do investigative work for me, and I recommend that he be fired, and you tell me, no, you can't do that because he'll sue you and you'll lose in court, Paul, I'm not going to fire the man.
No, you're right, Richard. Lawyers are always going to rule this type of situation. And, I mean, it's so interesting to think about what you just laid out. A university has a man that probably the president would agree needed to go based on his behavior, but they were more concerned with having to pay him off because of a lawsuit. Now, I will also tell you this. That's a lawyer's opinion, but another lawyer probably would have said to the university, let him sue us. You think he really wants all this brought out in public?
Well, yes, and Hutch Bushnell Blackwell, you know, said that, hey, man, you should have fired him. I disagree with what Taylor Porter told you. But that was 8 years ago, Paul.
Yeah, and Richard,
I mean, at the time, what are you going to do?
I understand it. And
LSU covered it up, but if my attorneys are telling me to do it, I don't think that's covering up. I think that's following what my attorneys told me to do.
Well, no, that's ultimately what you have to do. I'm in total agreement with you. My beef isn't really with LSU. It's with what happened more recently. But I also think it shows you how different things are today in 2021 than they were then. He would have had no chance of surviving today with a similar set of circumstances.
That's correct. I agree 100%. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I listen to it every day.
Well, that's great to hear. Wesley is also he's in Louisiana. Hey, Wesley, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I would just want to talk about the LSU baseball program.
Sure.
The reason people are fed up with Paul Maneri is the same old, you know, every year I wear too young. The 2 or 3 years I wear too young. Well, the 4th or 5th year we're too young. You know, we got to run out of some excuses at some point. And I'm not saying a man ain't wasn't a great coach at some point in time, but I think his days are limited, wouldn't you say?
Well, I must admit, I am just not an expert to offer an opinion. And sometimes when people like me say, yeah, you know, he's a great coach, we're basing it more on his complete body of work. I admire LSU fans for being this passionate. I will offer that to all of you. Hey, we're up against a break. We have another couple of hours to go. We'll update you on the LSU, the Kansas situation now with another shoe dropping out there. All of that coming up in the next 2 hours.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.